anniversary.
So here we are, week three of our series titled I Choose. And what we're looking at is choices that we all have to make. You know, really the 4th of July and our freedom as a nation, it was about a choice that people made to break free and to do what they believed God wanted them to do. And so they followed through, and here we are now able to experience what we experience. And that's really what it comes down to for each of us. We are the sum of our choices. And what we decide today certainly has impact on who we are tomorrow and the things that we'll experience in our lives. And so today we want to dig down into this topic as we really see what it is that God wants us to choose. So here's the thing. All the experts tell us as pastors and communicators that you never want to start a message off with a negative tone. You never want to start it with a negative hook. But I'm really not one that usually does what all the experts say. And so today I'm going to do the opposite of what they say. I'm going to start it off with something completely negative. Here it is. You and I are always going to be able and be experiencing pain in our lives. We're just going to have it. You're going to have pain. You're going to have hurt. You're going to have things that are just not going to be pleasant happen to you in life. Welcome to URA Community Church, where we just want you to feel great about yourself, right? But it's true. We are going to experience things. Jesus himself in John 16:33 said that I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. He just says, listen, it's going to be difficult. It's not always going to be rainbows and lollipops. It's going to be tough sometimes, and there's going to be pain that will come along with you. But here's the thing that he does. He follows it up with some hope. And we always need to know that there is hope. And here's what he follows it with. He says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. What a great thing to know that Jesus has overcome all the stuff that we'll face in our lives. Now, here's the catch, though. We're still going to experience it. It's still going to be there. And so the reality is that some of the pain that we face in our lives, some of those trials and difficulties are going to be things that we choose. Some of that pain, some of that anger and anxiousness and all of that stuff that we have to go through, they're our own fault. They're by our own choosing, because those are the decisions we made. And we get to, sometimes we choose our pain, right? Kids, if you can either choose to obey your parents today, or you can face the consequences later. Right? Parents, I'm trying to help you out a little bit. You know, most of the kids are out of here, but some of these older ones in here need to understand that we can choose to obey our parents today or face the consequences later. You can choose the pain of living within your means today, or you can choose to fight the mountain of debt that comes later. You and I can choose the pain that we experience. We can choose the pain of, you know, doing what we know is the right thing, or we can suffer the consequences later for choosing the wrong thing. We know that pain happens, and so today I want us to talk about choosing a certain type of pain, a pain that is sometimes one of those that we wish we didn't have to go through, but it definitely, the alternative is much better. So I want us today to talk about choosing the pain of discipline over regret. Discipline over regret. It's one of those words that kind of makes me cringe when I hear it, you know, discipline, because I'm not a very disciplined person. But I'm not very structured in my own way that I do things. But I also know that when you don't have discipline, there is something that follows, and it's the pain of regret. And that's something that I don't like even more. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to choose discipline over regret. If you're taking notes, let's dig into this first thing, and let's talk about a definition of discipline. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. It's about choosing what you want now, in the moment, or what you want most. What you know is that deep desire that you have in your life. What is discipline? It's choosing between what you want now and what you want most. And so what I want to do is look at some scripture that I think is going to help us be able to kind of learn from this to make this decision a little bit easier to make for us. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he's writing to help them understand some things. Paul is, if you don't know much about him, he's the guy that wrote most of the New Testament, a huge part of it. But he was an apostle, a man that was completely changed from killing and chasing Christians to now being a Christian and being one of those that God used greatly to help the rest of us live out this Christian faith. And so Paul's talking about how difficult it is to do the right thing here in Romans chapter 7. So in verse 15, he says this: I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I don't know about you, but I can identify with Paul here. That there's things that I want to do. I want to do what's right, but somehow I always find out how not to do it. You know, maybe you can identify. You know, box of Krispy Kreme donuts, and you say, I'll just have one, and you look up and you say, I can't believe I ate the whole thing, right? You know what's best, right, is to eat just one, because that's somewhat healthy compared to if you eat all 12 of them. Because there's going to be a consequence that you're going to have to pay for that down the road. It's wanting to do what's right, but not being able to do it. Verse 18 says, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I don't know about you, but I'm Paul's like eating my lunch here. Because I want to do the right thing. I want to be good. I want to do all those things. But somehow I keep messing it up. And Paul gets this. This is the guy that God used to write all of the scripture that we read, right? And he couldn't get it right. So maybe we could cut ourselves a little slack, don't you think? But here he is, and he goes on. And I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but I've felt this way totally. He says in verse 24, he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. You know, you're trying to do it right, but you can't do it right, and you want to do what's good, but you do what's bad, and you end up feeling just miserable. He says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? He kind of sounds like there's no hope for any of us, or for himself there, right? That gosh, what a miserable person. I can't do this. So there must be no hope. But the cool thing is, though, then his tone changes in verse 25, and he says this: thank God. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love the fact that Paul says, listen, the hope isn't in that I'll be a better person. Because the Bible says none of us are good. So we can only be so good. We can only get so much better on our own. We can't do it ourselves. It's not in us getting better. It's not in us getting stronger and having, you know, more faith. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ is the answer to it, and he's the one that we can trust and call out to in the middle of all of it. Because on our own, listen, we are prone to making the wrong decisions. It's just going to happen. But we've got to be able to make some choices to discipline ourselves, or we're going to spend a life with a lot of regret. And so we need to be able to look at this and figure out, how do we go from regret to discipline? How do we help ourselves be able to do that? And the way we do it is that we tap into the power of Jesus Christ. Paul's laid it out for us here. Here's the guy that says he can't get it right. But there's this progress that happens in his life, and he helps us to be able to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs? Right? All of us are running the same race, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. If you're going to run, run to win it. If you're going to live life, live it to be the best that you can be, knowing that you may not get it right all the time, but you gotta give it all you got. You've got to be willing to go forward. This scripture kind of fires me up because I'm a competitive person, right? Man, if you pull up beside me at a stoplight, you need to know that that's a tree in the middle of a dragway. And when that light turns green, it's on. You know, I'm not going to let you beat me. I just don't. That's just one of those things. I mean, if you're trying to, get ahead of me, no. You know, if you're in food line and you're walking up and somebody's coming that way with their buggy and you're that way, it's like, oh yeah, it's a race now, But I do try to do the right thing and let them in if they beat me. But, I have been known to dent up a card or two. But I'm just competitive like that. And, it's kind of funny that to be as competitive as I am, sometimes I lose that, and the things I'm competing for and against are totally the things, they're just the wrong things. Because I haven't chosen discipline in what I'm competitive about. And so I end up regretting it later. And but Paul says, listen, if you're going to do this, do it to win it. If you're going to live life, do it to win it. If you're going to be a Christian, do it to win it. Do it the best that you can, knowing that there is a prize waiting. He goes on and he says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. You have to choose what you want most over what you want right now. You got to be disciplined in what you're doing. If you want to be in tip-top shape, you got to choose to not lay in bed and then eat pizza all the time. You got to get up and go. I'm battling that myself. You got to be willing to get up and go. That root word for discipline is kind of interesting. It comes out with disciple. And we're disciples if we've accepted Christ and we've begun to follow Him, then we are training to be like Him. And so discipline is that thing that helps us to stay focused in. He goes on, he says, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. In other words, they're doing it, but they're doing it for a prize that's just not going to last. Kids play soccer and they got that little participation trophy. I hope it falls apart. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not for participation trophies. It just doesn't point us in the direction that we got to give it our best. But he says they do it to win a prize that will fade away, because those prizes are going to fade away. All the things we work so hard for, all the prizes that are in our garages, they're going to fade away. All the prizes that are in our closets, they're going to fade away. But he says they do it, that we should do it. He goes on that we should do it for an eternal prize. That what we do, that as we live out this Christian life, it's because we do it knowing that we get to spend forever in the presence of Christ if we've accepted Him. And so the prize is greater than just some little trophy or just some piece of metal in the driveway. It is much more than that. It's an eternal prize. And I love the imagery that Paul's using here. And he's talking to his audience. He's giving them this picture. They would have known exactly what he was referring to, because there was these races that were very similar to the Olympics. They had this very patriotic theme to them. And he's talking to them about this. And so they're getting this, that man, when we run, we got to run. We got to go and we want to win this, because this is a big deal. And I think sometimes in the church we've lost the reality that what we do is a big deal. That taking the gospel outside of here is a big deal. That when we talk about we exist to help people develop a love for God and a love for others and a love for sharing the good news, we need to know that's a big deal. And so Paul's trying to help them understand it by using that when they would train for this, there wasn't any junk food. There wasn't any. They got their sleep at night. They were focused in on this. They would expose their bodies to all kinds of things to be able to train to run these races. It's kind of like the writer of Hebrews. He used a very similar imagery in Romans 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. He said, listen, this is important. It's a big deal. We've got to get everything off of us that hinders us from being able to go all out in this race. That this discipline over regret is that we've got to be willing to discipline ourselves, do and choose what's right, and be willing to do what we do now, do what we want to do most, so we don't get focused on just now. This is the kind of an interesting story here and an interesting imagery, because when the writer is talking about stripping off all the weight, listen, these guys would run, they'd run nude, okay? And so for me, that would be a whole lot of motivation to be in the front and not in the back, if you kind of follow me there. So I don't want to watch the backside of a bunch of nude guys, right? So I would want to be in front. So there was this motivation to be in front. And so this picture here for us is that, listen, we got to run. We got to run this thing to win it, to not be willing to just settle for second place. Listen, second place is the first loser. I'm just saying, So that's, we got to be willing to do whatever it takes to see this happen, to run for this prize. And it's the prize of knowing that we did everything that we could to live the life that God's called us to. That He's called us to be not perfect, because we can't be perfect in our own, but if we know the one who is perfect, then listen, we've got the strength in us to be able to live this out the best that we can. We're going to make mistakes, absolutely. We're going to fall, absolutely. We're not going to get it right all the time, but if we're disciplined as much as possible, we'll have as little regret as possible. And so we've got to be willing to do that. Here's two questions to help us kind of bring this in, to apply it to our lives. Here's the first one. What do you want most? What do you want most? On your outline there, there's a place that you can write down. What is it in your life that you want most? I want you to write it down. So you know what it is. You've been praying about it. You've been seeking it. You've been talking about it. It's just been chasing you around. What is it that you want most? I'm not talking about you want to win the lottery. Listen, that I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm not talking about, marrying Keith Urban or what. I don't know, whatever it may be for you. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about, what is it God wants to do in your life most? What is it that you want to chase after Him the most for? Maybe it's that you know that you're just kind of far from Him and you need to work on, you want a close relationship with Him. Maybe it's that you know health-wise that you need to do better and you need to make better choices so that you feel better and you're able to do more for Him. Maybe it's that you know you need to get out of debt. Maybe it's that you know you need to work on your marriage or whatever. What is it that you want most? Write it down. Make sure that you know what it is and that you're willing to be honest about it and that you're willing to give it a name and put it down there. Some of us are going to say, you know what, this is what I want most. I want this and I want that. I need to work on this and I want to. And so you got your laundry list, right? Listen, I'm not talking about all the things that you want to do. You can't fix it all at once. But what is it, that one thing that you know most of all that you need to let God change? Pick an area and then let's begin to let God work in that. What do you want to do? What is it that you want most? Second question is this. When it comes, if you know what you want most, then what do you need to choose now to achieve what you want most? What do you need to choose now to achieve what you want most. See, we've been focused on a lot of nows. We've been focusing a lot on what we want now, but it's like, what do we need to do now to make sure that we can do what we want to do most? What is it there? If it's that you really want to be close to God, listen, you gotta choose some things. What do you need to do now to have that close relationship with God, if that's what you want most? Well, how about picking a Bible reading plan? Start reading your Bible on a regular basis. You know, begin to just something small, something, you know, that just gets you in there to begin to hear what He's got to say to you. Maybe it's that you just need to pray on a regular basis. I got to tell you, I believe the prayer life of Christians, if we were to all be honest about it, is probably the most anemic thing that hurts us. It's the most powerful tool that we have at our disposal, but I promise it's what we use the least. And if we do use it, lots of times we don't use it right. We use it because we want God to fix everything for us rather than to ask Him to make us who He wants us to be, to help us to be all that He created us to be. And so maybe if you want most to be close to God, you got to begin to read your Bible. You got to begin to pray more. I mean, those are the things that we always talk about, but it's the basics. It's true. If that's what we want most, then there are some very simple steps that we need to do. There's life groups available that you need to be plugged into. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to kick off our men's life group. We're going to have a breakfast here. You know, if you enjoyed this morning, we're going to crank it up again in a couple of weeks on Saturday, and we're going to have a good time together. And it's just going to be about men, you know, figuring out what God wants to do in your lives and to grow you. And some things that maybe we struggle with as men that are a little bit hard to talk about sometimes. But being able to have a place where we can be honest and grow in the Word. Wednesday night, there's a great Bible study here that goes on, a great life group that meets. There's women's groups. There's all kinds of opportunities for us to grow. But is that what you want most? Because if that's what you want most, then that may be something you need to do now so you can have what you desire most. Maybe it's that you need to get in better shape. You know, if you want to get in better shape, what do? You go join a gym, right? Or you go somewhere that you can exercise. You change your diet. You do all of those kind of those basic things, but it's the same if we want that relationship with God. We just got to go do the basic things. Maybe it's that you want a great marriage. Listen, having a good marriage is a difficult thing, but quite honestly, it's not rocket science. It's the same as any other relationship. It's spending time and it's being honest and it's trying to grow and it takes two. Being willing to do both of those things together and really investing in that in each other. So it's difficult. It's hard to do. But it's not impossible. Because if that's what you want most, then there are some things that you need to do now to make sure that that happens later. There are things, if you want to get out of debt, what does that mean? How does that happen? If you want to get out of debt, you know, most, then now, you know, maybe you don't go borrow money and buy that boat. Maybe you don't do some of the things that get us in trouble. You decide that you're okay with what you got now, clothing-wise. You don't need to go on that ladies' thrift shopping trip. That'll get me in trouble. For those of you to know that my wife organizes that. So she's in the kids. Don't tell her. But if you want to get out of debt, maybe you just need to go DaveRamsey.com and start learning some about getting things in order. There are just some steps. So figure out what you want most. What is it God wants to do in your life most that He's leading you to? And then figure out what it is that you got to do now so that you can achieve that down the road. There's a great couples life group on Friday nights that meets here. And man, come and you can learn some great stuff to be able to grow that your marriage and your relationship. There's just plenty of it. Plenty of opportunities to take those steps. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26 and 27 says this. Paul's continuing on. He says, "So I run with purpose in every step." You know, I read that and I began to look and I realized that not all my steps had purpose. I was taking a lot of steps that didn't have purpose, and certainly not purpose towards what I want most. And I got to bet that if we're honest in the room that there's a lot of steps in our all of our lives that really don't have a purpose. They don't lead us to where we need to be, and they don't lead us towards what we want most. And Paul goes on, he says, I'm not just shadow boxing. You know, sometimes I think we spend so much energy just punching the air and you know, symbolic punching the air and trying to do things that just kind of fill the space rather than having purpose in where we need to be. Verse 27, he says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Listen, if we don't want to have to face regret down the road, we're going to have to choose some discipline now. We've got to make some choices of some things that don't make sense to the world. They might not even really make sense to us, but we know that's where God's leading us so that he can do what he wants to do most in our lives. It's going to mean that life may look a little bit different. But I can promise you that if you'll let it look a little bit different now, it won't have to look like everybody else's down the road when we're all facing the regret of bad choices. So we can choose now to do what needs to be done so that we get to experience what we want most. So it's one of those things that we have to be ready to do. We've got to train ourselves to be able to experience that life. A pastor told a story. He says that he was meeting with a person, and they gave him this illustration of how this really kind of looks. And if you'll kind of envision with me, let's just imagine that, you know, the thing that you want most is a beautiful yard. You know, how that green grass, and it's, you know, it's like perfectly three inches tall, and, you know, wide blades of grass, and it's just that cushy, you know, just really beautiful green, and it's just lush and out there, you know. Man, I drive down, I get yard envy really easily because I'm competitive and my yard doesn't look so good and I want it to, but you see that and it's like, man, that is awesome. And so what you want most is to have a yard like that. You want that green grass. But you know, the thing of it is that your mailbox is out directly in front of your house. But your sidewalk goes out and over to the driveway, and then and to get to your mailbox, that's what you have to do. So you have to go out, go to the sidewalk, down the driveway, and down the street to check your mail. What do we typically do? We go the shortest way, don't we? And so we begin to go down. So one day we're in a hurry, we go down, we check the mail, but we go straight across the yard. No harm, no foul, but man, that was easy. And so the next day we decide we're going to go check the mail and we're going to go straight across. And before long, day after day, we just say, you know what, I'll just go this way because it's a lot quicker and easier. And before long, we've made all of these trips, and what's happened to the yard? We've wore a path, haven't we? And so now that beautiful, lush green grass is separated by this little muddy trail where we've worn it out going because we cut it short and we did it the easy way. And see, our lives are a lot like that. We, instead of going the way that we know is the best way, that gets us to where we need to be, that allows us to have what it is that we want most, we decide that we're going to cut it short and we're going to wear a path in the middle of our beautiful, lush green yard. And so here's the good news. That if we'll make a choice to be disciplined and go back to the route that we know is right, that God will grow, he will regrow that grass in that path. And he can heal that wound in our lives that's been worn down by the choices we've made to shortcut everything. And so today, maybe you're at a place where, you know what, there's just things that you want most in your life, but you feel like, you know, I've worn the path out, and my yard just doesn't look so good. Things just aren't the way that I want them to be, but now this is where I'm at. Let me just tell you that there's hope, there's good news. that God's there wanting to restore your beautiful, lush green yard. He's just waiting on you to make a choice. One, to admit that you've made some bad choices. And two, to go back to the discipline of doing what you know is right. The best that you can. The best and the often as you can. Even though, yeah, you're not going to get it right. Not all the time. But I believe in the power of Jesus, the answer. Paul said, the answer is in Jesus Christ. And when we trust Him, we can go back to that path of discipline that just makes it makes it a little bit harder, maybe a little bit longer, but man, it sure does keep that grass looking really good. So maybe for you today, that's the choice you need to make, is to just admit that you've been cutting it short. You've just been doing it the easy way, and now you're ready to do now what you need to do so that you can have what you want most. So today, it's pretty easy. You know, this is the day we, as a church, we celebrate freedom. So today's a day that you can be free. You can be free from that regret. You can be free of that consequence. And you can trust Him and allow Him to help you in that discipline. Let's pray together. God, we thank You so much for who You are. We thank You that You are the answer. Hey, You're the one that gives us what we need and gives us the strength and the power and the guidance to, God, to do exactly what needs to be done. So, God, I pray today that for those in the room that just have come to a place to realize they've been taking the easy way, and they've just worn a path where it just doesn't belong. God, I pray that this would be a moment where they just want to admit that's what they've done. They confess it to You, that they decide to choose discipline over the regret and just begin to follow You. God, for those in the room maybe that have never made a decision to accept the fact that Your Son, Jesus, came to pay for our shortcuts. He came to pay for that, for those regrets and that undisciplined self that we are. He came to pay for our sin. And He died on a cross, paying the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. He was taken off the cross. He was buried, and on the third day raised again, demonstrating the fact that you love us and that You want to restore. You want to restore that beautiful lush yard that we desire so much, that relationship with You. So God, in these moments, I pray that we'll just be willing to do what needs to be done. If it's to accept Christ for the first time, to just confess our sins and know that they're forgiven and to be set free for eternity. God, I pray that would happen. God, for those that have made that decision before, but we've been doing it our own way, and we've gotten off the disciplines of just following You, and regret has become the norm for us. God, may we just admit it and be willing to do different. God, whatever it is that You need to do in our lives, may You have freedom here to do that on this Independence Day weekend. God, set us free. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.